Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ronji on KMOX. It is the final hour of the show. Again, we are still taking submissions for people who want to be involved in our no prize pick'em tomorrow. We're just picking football games. You don't win anything for it. It's just, you get to be a part of the show. And that's it. Pride. You're playing for pride.
Yeah.
So if you want to play tomorrow and you're available at 12:30, just text us with your name and somebody might reach out to you to play tomorrow. 314-436-7900 is the phone number. Had a couple of people who have asked about the sisters situation.
Yes.
And one person wants to know if the lady who blew me off showed up to the bar with a different guy or the ex. And it was a different person altogether. Yeah. So she is really, I don't mind being the rebound. I have no problem with that. Another texter wanting to know if the sisters are aware that we have been talking about them on this show. I don't know.
We don't know because the original sister.
Yeah, she was listening.
She was listening and she found me to be hilarious.
She thought you were delightful.
I know, which tracks.
So I think that means
I'm insane.
If she likes you,
I'm insane.
Yeah.
It's like if Marjorie Taylor Greene was like, I love Amy. She's great. And I would
that would make me so
I would be
happy.
So sad. It would hurt my feelings.
So we are going to talk to AccuWeather meteorologist Jason Katarina. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour because we are expecting more snow tonight in the St. Louis area through tomorrow. It could be up to 6 inches.
Up to 6 inches. So I had heard like a dusting flurry.
That's what I heard. 1 to 2, and then it went to 4,
and
now it's 6.
And then 6. That was the progression I heard. Now, I also heard that some of the higher accumulation totals will be south of the city.
Yes,
now,
for sure.
I don't know anything. That's why we're talking to Jason Katarina.
And Jason will he'll give us some insights on these Los Angeles wildfires that are raging right now. Close to 140,000 people have been evacuated from where they live because these fires are just out of control. And we'll talk about weather's role in this and how this all even started in the first place. So AccuWeather meteorologist Jason Katarina will be joining us in about 25 minutes. But right now, let us dip in to our sister station in Los Angeles. This is KNX with their coverage of what's going on in LA right now.
That we're talking for tonight and tomorrow morning. And then over the weekend, we get another offshore Santa Ana wind event Saturday night and Sunday morning. And then the strongest that we see right now is Monday night and Tuesday morning next week. And that will likely be one of those PDS deals for some more extreme wind speeds coming down from the San Gabriels. So kind of a modest one tonight and tomorrow morning. We'll step it up a little bit for the weekend, Saturday night, Sunday morning. And then the strongest one on the table that we've got right now is early next week.
All right. Well, at least we got a little bit of a break. Scott Larimore at the Weather Channel. Thanks so much.
Out to the Eaton Fire in the Altadena, Pasadena area right now. And our Craig Figner. Craig, I want to talk a little bit more this morning about you. You had talked to LA County Supervisor Catherine Barger, who was expressing concern about sort of what happened at that convalescent home out there. You know, we saw the videos of people being wheeled in the wheelchairs and the gurneys. And we also talked to Congresswoman Judy Chu this morning saying if what seems to be implied about what's going on out there is true, there really needs to be, a very thorough investigation. So bring us up to speed on what you found out.
Right. So what happened at the convalescent home where people had to be, wheeled out in wheelchairs and spin gurneys on the sidewalk and even had to use a Pasadena City bus to get people to safety as the firestorm kicked in. That's on the Pasadena side of the Eaton Fire. That side of the fire, we don't have any information is connected to deaths, at least not now. That could change. But Supervisor Catherine Barger, her district includes the side of the Eaton Fire that's Altadena, and there was another convalescent facility, full-time live-in care facility there, where she has information that maybe there have been two deaths as a result of the Eaton Fire. And if you can believe it, it's just hard to think about that. The staff there abandoned a couple of people at the convalescent center, and that resulted in two deaths. Now, that isn't confirmed, but that is something that they're working on. And then Sheriff Luna has said that there's the belief that maybe three other deaths may be connected to the Eaton fire. We don't know if they're people who died because of smoke inhalation or fire itself, or if they had medical conditions that were aggravated by the stress of all this chaos this week. And he didn't know either, but they're going to bring in canine teams that are going to go through the rubble. I think they're going to have to wait, of course, until a lot of it cools down. It hasn't. And sniff and find out if there are human remains anywhere. And then that would launch, you know, an investigation, a death investigation in potentially different parts of this already huge fire scene. You have to remember more than 1,000 structures burned. The vast majority of them could potentially be houses, a lot of businesses too. So there's a lot to go through here from an investigative point of view. And that I guess is in part going to be one reason why people are also not being allowed back in just yet. If you come back up here, there are sheriff's deputies at all the major intersections, and they're not letting people back in. It's to the aggravation of many people. But this is to prevent people from getting in to loot and create trouble, and also for public safety, and perhaps now for this effort to investigate the possibility of deaths here at the Eaton fire scene.
All right. Craig Figner there out there in Altadena, Pasadena. That's the Eaton fire. We'll have more of our coverage coming up just a few minutes away, and we'll get back to traffic as well. And then, talk about these winds, because we're going to get more of them. We got the break this morning, but more for tonight into tomorrow morning. It's 10:11.
That is KNX, our sister station in Los Angeles. Some of the coverage of the fire. You can always listen if you are curious to know what is going on. The Odyssey app is available. All the Odyssey stations around the country are on it. That includes our show. That includes KMOX. That includes Cardinals baseball when the regular season is going on and the postseason. All of it's available for you for free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, I was. I've been following CBS News national correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti on Twitter. He's right in the heart of the wildfires out in California. Just some of the images and videos he's posting. It really is. You know the cliche that it's beyond words, or it's you can't comprehend it, the amount of damage, the devastation. It's such a cliche to say that, but it is actually true.
Yep.
Because we were sitting there yesterday with, you know, the Jar family and the Jar kids, and saying, imagine like all of Chesterfield, you know, just burning down. You know, wherever you live, South County is just on fire. And then, you know, and then South City catches on fire, and then it jumps to downtown. I mean, it's really something, just a level of destruction that my first thought is how they're still fighting it. And I'm thinking, how do you begin to rebuild? Where do you start if you've lost everything and your neighbors have lost everything? Because that's the thing. So many times in times of need and loss and suffering, your community, your neighbors, your church, they're the ones that come to help you, but they've also all been devastated.
And do you rethink where you rebuild? If you even go back to where you were originally, do you think, well, I don't want to deal with this again, or the climate's already a problem where I am, and this just makes it worse? I don't know how you rethink that. And that goes for any natural disaster, especially those that happen on the coasts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if rising water continues to do that and the storms continue to intensify like they have been in Florida, and a lot of people have lost homes down there who live closer to the coast, do you even consider going back to those spots? I'm not sure that I would.
And also, and this is something that is above my pay grade, and we'll have yet to see the ramifications of how this plays out, but what insurance do these people have? How do you ensure any building,
especially moving forward?
Imagine, right, that those costs are going to affect the rest of the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because somehow you got to pay for this. And one news anchor pointed out, and I can't remember which because I was flipping around so much yesterday, but one news anchor pointed out, so even if you say you have a caveat in some of your insurance plans that you can't live in super high-risk areas for forest fires, I don't think Hollywood or Malibu was considered one of those super high-risk forest fire areas.
Right. Right. And
you know, so like you can't just say we're not going to insure California.
And you know what? Just watching how quickly this thing spread, because it was yesterday that within the matter of about 4 or 5 hours, it quintupled in size. It just got huge. And now we're talking about over 17,000 acres that are burning now. I mentioned about the estimate is somewhere between 130, 140,000 people who have had to evacuate. And seeing some of the videos, there was one I shared with you guys, and it's difficult to describe, but it is outside of McDonald's, and the palm trees by the McDonald's sign are on fire. And you see the wind coming through almost, I don't know if it's hurricane speed, but it sure looked like hurricane speed. And you see the embers flying off the tree. And then you realize, oh, that's how this spreads. Because that palm tree with all of those embers that are flying, you know, hundreds of yards, if not farther, and then they start fires somewhere else. I mean, how do you contain this unless you are doing it from the air?
It's funny that you say that. I actually was just reading, I just read a tweet again from Jonathan Vigliotti of CBS. He has this picture of what looks like hell. It just looks like what you picture hell or some apocalypse. He said, this is near Brentwood. Flames are moving in. I've never seen fire behavior like this. It's a wind-driven ember storm with sparks carried more than a mile away. If you are in a threatened area, be safe and just evacuate. The last minute panic is mentally scarring.
Yeah.
But I mean, to your point about the embers a mile away.
Yep.
And then once another fire starts, well, then that mile radius shifts again. And I mean, the last minute panic that I've seen, whether it was the CNN reporter or some of the families that are running, abandoning their cars and running with their families down different roads or highways, I can't imagine that.
That's worse than a hurricane.
Yes, I mean,
it is, because of the unpredictable nature of it. You know where the hurricane's coming from. You know what the wind speeds are going to be. You don't know exactly what the destruction
and
is.
There's a chance you'll survive in a hurricane. There's a chance.
Right.
There's not with fire.
In a fire? No.
There's no chance. That, I mean,
we will again talk to Jason Caterina. AccuWeather meteorologist will join us after the 12:30 news. We'll get an update on the snow that's coming our way tonight, and then what his thoughts on the LA wildfires and how weather has affected it and how it even started. That'll be coming up just after 12:30. It's Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji on KMOX. I feel like Pajeski's playing this for a reason. So got a message from a listener at 314-436-7900. And he says, this person says that there's no shame in dating a psychopath. They need love, too.
Hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah. So I guess it's okay. Maybe I'll give it a try.
Well, my question is, do you have experience
dating a psychopath?
Yes.
Not well. I've dated a couple of people who have had
adjacent
issues.
Psychopath adjacent.
Temporary issues. Oh. I was not the issue.
Really?
What
about the one that threw your phone in the toilet?
She was just an angry little elf.
South Pole
she
elf.
She was just angry.
Yeah.
And she blamed her Italian heritage on it. That became one of my biggest pet peeves ever, is when somebody says, what do you want from me? I'm Italian. Like, that is not an excuse for you to be a butthole. That's not what that means. You don't get to be angry and rude all the time because
Mussolini's
you're Italian.
That was line when they're like, why are you a fascist? He's like, what do you want from me?
I'm Italian. Come on. That is so pathetic.
We've got fascistic tendencies. What do you want me to say?
Hey, congratulations.
I feel like this is an awful segment right now.
You're the one started it.
I did start it, but no, you started it with your girlfriend.
Oh, damn, I did.
Yeah, no, that's not an excuse. That doesn't make any sense.
No, that's what she said. I'm just telling you what she said.
I feel like Italians can be relaxed.
Of course they can. I'm just telling you what she said. She used it as an excuse. Congratulations to Ryan Helsley, Cardinals closer, who has gotten himself a new contract, avoiding arbitration, an $8.2 million contract, which now makes him the 15th highest paid reliever in baseball when you do the average salary. So that does not mean he's not going to get traded eventually, but at least there's some cost certainty there if they decide to which I don't think they're going to trade him before spring training starts, but middle of the season, that will come into play.
There you go.
So there it is. Amy, you ever lost anything? You ever left anything on a train?
I did, actually.
Do you take trains often?
I did in Switzerland. I never take trains. I went from, I think, taking one train in my whole entire life, and I think it was just to be on a train because my grandparents were babysitting us, and I was five, and they're like, let's go on a train. So I think we went on a pointless ride, like one direction and then back. So I've never actually taken a train except for when we went to Switzerland, at which point we were taking five or six trains a day, which was amazing because they're on time, and there are a lot of trains in Switzerland, and it was life-changing. It was a life-changing rail system.
I love a train system. I wish we had a more comprehensive one. And it's one of those chicken or egg things where it's not attractive to want to move here because there are people who are looking at what your public transportation system is. But also, I don't know how much we need an expanded one. So I think it would be nice if we did have one. It might change a lot for us.
Yeah, the United States is just so big. That's why...
I mean St. Louis especially.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean the United States, as far as a nationwide rail system that's really great and efficient, no, we'll never be like Europe. I think on the East Coast, where it's a little bit more dense, the populations and the epicenters, yeah, they've got trains. People take the trains, D.C., New York, and so forth. They do take those trains. They're not European. They're not the European system, but they take them. Switzerland's just so small, and Europe in general is so tightly packed and dense population-wise that the trains are full and needed and useful versus you're not going to get one in Kansas that's great.
No. I mean, the train system in New York is great. Mm-hmm. It's a little confusing unless you use it a couple of times.
Are you talking about the subways or the train subway trains?
That's why I mean subways. Oh, we're talking...
I was talking like, big trains.
Okay.
Because they are big trains on the East Coast.
Yeah. That will take, and Chicago has them too, taking you from the city out to the suburbs.
What's the deal with the L, by the way?
The Metra.
Yeah, the Metra is the train, but the L
is within the city limits.
Right, but do you see? I am pro subway in New York. I love it. I take it all the time when I'm up there. Literally everywhere I go is the subway. It's great. Is the L that way in Chicago or not as great?
It's pretty expansive. I mean, it just aren't as many stations.
Why do I feel like the L is not as convenient as the subway in New York?
Oh, it's super. I used to take it. I mean, I think every place I ever lived up there was pretty close to a train stop. Hmm. So I would take it all the time to work.
That's fair.
It's great. You never deal with traffic. There was one time I was on it and I had to get off halfway to the station because apparently we hit a worker who was working on the tracks.
That's not great.
So they stopped the train and said, everybody out. Yeah, that was not great. But there's a story in the New York Post about the things people have left on the train.
Uh-huh.
And
this is in England.
This is in England.
England?
This is Northern Trains, which is a British company. And people have left things like a live hamster.
Oh.
I don't know how you'd forget your hamster. A prosthetic leg.
Almost seems harder to forget than the hamster.
I feel like that'd be kind of difficult. You get off the train, you're hopping one leg off, and you say something's missing.
What am I... Well... Yes.
22 pounds of chicken breasts. Raw chicken breasts.
Why are you bringing chicken breast on a train?
From the store.
22 pounds of it?
Well...
That's a lot of chicken breasts.
You're going to meal prep.
That seems... like a bad one to leave on a train.
It would be stinky. Remember I told you about my friend who was mad at her ex-boyfriend and left a raw chicken breast under the passenger seat of his car?
It's especially cruel.
And it obviously, it was summer, so you know what happened. And it was, he couldn't figure out what the smell was.
Yeah.
And then I think 4 or 5 years later, she confessed to him.
Wow.
That she had done it, and he was livid.
I would imagine.
Even 5 years later.
Ugh.
When we come back, Jason Caterina, who is an AccuWeather meteorologist, will let us know what to expect with our winter storm that's coming again tonight and into tomorrow, and how weather has impacted the fires in Los Angeles. It's Amy Marks, Kors, and Chris Ranji on KMOX. Well, we just had a good round of snow the other day, and We're getting more tonight. Aren't you excited?
I'm thrilled, actually. I love it. But you got to be safe. You got to be safe.
Got to be safe. The roads are still, depending on where you are in the St. Louis area, they are questionable. A lot of them are very well treated and paved, and you're good. But there are some that are still struggling. And this will just complicate it a bit. So to talk about it, about what to expect tonight and through tomorrow, Jason Katerina is an AccuWeather meteorologist and joins us on KMOX. We appreciate your time, Jason. How are you?
Hey, I'm well. Yourself?
Yeah, we're doing okay. So what are we getting tonight? When's it going to start? How much of it to expect? Because yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, they were telling us 1 to 2 inches of dusting, and now it sounds like it's more than that.
Yeah, they bumped it up. We bumped it up a little bit. The dynamics, not to get super technical, but the dynamics are really kind of evolving a little bit and producing a little bit more as far as the strength of the system is concerned. So we are expecting a little bit more in the way than we were expecting yesterday. We've got a winter weather advisory across St. Louis itself. That starts at 6 p.m. tonight, goes all the way to 6 p.m. tomorrow. Now, down to our south, we've got a winter storm warning. The difference between the two is about an inch to two of additional snowfall. So if you're in the winter weather advisory area, you can expect roughly 2 to 4 inches by the time all is said and done. 1 to 3 inches in and around the city. And that as we go through the winter storm warning, that's when you're going to find upwards of 5 to 6 inches or the potential for more than 5 inches of snow. So it all starts as we head through the evening and then into the overnight hours. I expect it to first develop this evening from central through northeastern Missouri, and then snow becoming more widespread, shifting southward overnight as that system starts to really crank up and move over toward our region a little bit more.
And so, and you said that winter storm warning, which is a couple inches more snow than there would be in the advisory, that is a bit south, just outside the city?
Yeah, that's well south of the city, actually. Several counties south, all the way down toward Chester and then down into Farmington. Farmington's still in the edge of the winter weather advisory. So is Chester, but south of those is where the winter storm warning kicks in. So wide swath from St. Louis south to, say, Farmington, Chester area. And then northward up to just south of Quincy is where the kind of boundaries of the winter weather advisory are. That's the lower end of the two warnings.
Yeah, still a lot of it in our listening area.
Yeah, yeah. How would you compare the upcoming precipitation to what we had before, which had a lot of wintry mix, sleet and ice?
Well, not expecting any of the sleet and ice in this one. This is just going to be a straight snowfall for us. None of that mixing going on up in the atmosphere. There's not like a warm layer up there that's going to kind of throw things off. That's what happens when we get that kind of mix or that wintry mix. It may be very cold down at the surface, but there's a warm layer that's above freezing, like up over your head and thousands of feet in the atmosphere. So as the snow falls through that, it melts. It'll never recrystallize into a snowflake. But if that cold layer at the surface is deep enough, it'll refreeze into an ice pellet or sleet. If it's not cold enough and it's well below freezing at the surface, you'll get freezing rain. So we don't have any of that. We've got a nice cold column of atmosphere all the way down. So this should just be just plain old snow.
So driving conditions, how much will they be affected? And there are still, as I mentioned, some areas that have not really been plowed all that much, or still have layers of ice and snow on them.
Sure. Well, it's going to stay cold, down to 29 overnight tonight, the snow arriving after midnight. So by tomorrow morning, I'd expect a slick commute, but with the 1 to 3 inches of accumulation, certainly is going to create some trouble out on the roads as they work on clearing them. Could be locally up to 6 inches well south of the city, though. Like I said, that's going to be well south of the city. But I would expect a pretty rough commute tomorrow morning, and traveling during the day not likely to be much better. Things will improve for us a bit over the weekend. We'll have quiet conditions over the weekend. It's actually going to get above freezing, too. So that'll help to get some of the streets de-iced and the plow crews getting everything going.
What's the temperature that you look for when the de-icing and all the highway treatment stops working? Because if it's like 25 degrees, we're okay with the salt and so forth, correct?
Yes, yeah. It's usually much colder than, and especially with all the new technology they've got, they've really lowered the temperature that they can apply that stuff and that it actually is effective. So, you know, with it only going down to 29 overnight and then 35 during the day tomorrow, I don't think, you know, that road stuff that they put down, the brine, I don't know if they brine where you guys are, but, you know, the salt and such should have no problem helping to cut through some of that stuff. You know, it's we're not going to get down into the teens or single digits or anything like that. So the road treatment that they put down should have no problem helping that out.
Also, Jason Katerina, AccuWeather meteorologist, is with us. And Jason, the other reason we wanted to have you on is because of these wildfires in Los Angeles County that are happening. You know, it started with three of them. Now it's six. All these acres, and it's been spreading so rapidly. And the fire department have had a difficult time putting them out because they haven't had air support. So how does a fire like this spread as quickly as it is, because they happen in California, but this one's unusual?
Well, you know, some of the reported wind gusts from Southern California the last couple of days, there was a 100-mile-an-hour gust reported in the truck trail at Mount Lukens, 98-mile-an-hour gust at Saddle Peak, Magic Mountain truck trail, a 90-mile-an-hour gust. So you're talking about, you know, sustained winds, 50, 60 miles an hour gust to, you know, up to 100 miles an hour. This is how that stuff is spreading so quickly. And you got to think, if you've never been to California, that part of California is very kind of mountainous, a lot of valleys and stuff. So that Santa Ana winds, you get an area of high pressure in the upper plains, low pressure right down by the Gulf of Cortez, or sorry, I was a maritime meteorologist for a while. The Baja. Yeah. There we go. You get a low pressure down by the Baja. In between those two, basically, some of you may remember your grandmother's having like a ringer that they used to run their washer through. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's happening. You've got the clockwise flow of the high pressure, the counterclockwise of the low pressure. In between those, it's all getting squeezed together. Then on top of that, it's shooting through all of those valleys in between the mountains. And that's what's creating these incredible wind gusts and stuff that we're seeing. And honestly, once that wind gets going, those fire embers just blow and just land somewhere. The wind kicks it off and you get a new fire starting. So that's why they're spreading so quickly, is you've got these incredibly strong winds with this Santa Ana setup. I've been in Southern California when the Santa Anas kick in, and you wouldn't believe how warm, dry, and just very strong they are. So that's a lot of what's going on with this.
So with these fires, you know, the most devastating in LA history, still burning, they're not contained. You know, who knows where they could go at this point? Is this, when you see it, super unusual that the winds are doing what they're doing now? Or do you see it that LA and Hollywood and Malibu have been kind of lucky up until this point?
Yeah, a lot of times the Santa Anas are a little further south down towards San Diego. That's where I experienced them when I was out there visiting my uncle years back. So, you know, it's not all that uncommon, but it's just a fire started at the same time that the winds got going, whether that was, you know, a power line spark or lightning, or I don't know how any of these things got going, but it was really just the timing with this that, you know, they happened to catch as these massive winds started kicking up, and it's just, you know, been catastrophic from then on. So, you know, it's not all that unusual to have a wind like this. These incredibly strong winds are rather unusual, but those Santa Ana winds can get very strong, and they're not all that uncommon.
But it's also unusually dry, right? Because of the rainfall they did not get this time of year, and they're supposed to?
Yeah, it's been pretty dry, too. So, you know, there's just a lot of fuel, and obviously LA is very developed, and people have been moving out into the hills and stuff. And that's what creates a lot of these problems. You know, everybody's starting to spread out into nature where, you know, you get far away from sources of water, things like that. They just can't get the water to them, or, you know, it's hard to evacuate people out of some of those areas because some of those remote areas are hard to get to. So it takes time to get the water there and things. And yeah.
Now, we are seeing that five people have died and there are a lot of injuries. But when you see the scope of this fire and the speed, have you been maybe surprised that as many people have been able to get out, you know, avoid death, avoid injury? Are you still waiting to hear what the final count is? Because sometimes the images are so overwhelming. It's terrifying. It looks like they're driving through hell. And I'm and five is still tragic, but it almost looks like it could swallow up a neighborhood in a minute.
Yeah, I'm to be honest, with how densely populated that area is, I'm personally honestly surprised that more people have not been injured or killed. I mean, with the speed that these fires are moving, the strength of the winds, and how much fuel that they've got, you know, there's a lot of stuff in people's houses that burn really hot, too. So once that stuff starts going up, like, it just, it's some of the video I've seen. I saw a video of a couple of folks and their pets up in a somewhere that there was fire all around them. Gosh, I hope that they made it. It was terrifying. But yeah, I'm honestly, with how densely packed the area is, the population and the amount of houses, people trying to escape, I'm really surprised personally that the wounded and killed have not been higher.
Jason, we really appreciate it. Thank you for giving us the information and keeping us updated.
You're welcome. It does look like they are going to get a little bit of relief here as we head toward the weekend. The winds will die down, so they won't be quite as ferocious as they've been. So I think that'll help the firefighters out some. Maybe they can get some air support going as well. And there is a chance for another Santa Ana event as we head toward next week. So fingers crossed that they get this under control and things settle down.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, guys.
Jason Caterina, AccuWeather meteorologist, with us here on KMOX. We're talking about all these homes being destroyed, and there have been all these publications that have put out lists of some of the homes, some of the celebrities who have lost homes, people that you know.
Yeah.
And I know there's this anti-celebrity sentiment that's been building for the last several years, but it's still striking when you hear people like Tom Hanks and
who have had, at least Levy, had Dan,
Eugene Levy,
Paris Hilton, Adam Brody, Maiden
Anthony
Leaser.
Hopkins has lost a home. Miles Teller has had their home. John Goodman, St. Louis's John Goodman, has lost a house.
I think, and some of them have evacuated and are waiting to see if they lose their homes. Those would be like, I don't know if Tom Hanks lost his house already, but he evacuated.
Yeah, he was evacuated.
Ben Affleck, Diane Keaton, Steven Spielberg, Heidi and Spencer Pratt lost their home. Eugene Levy did say he lost his house. Jamie Lee Curtis said somehow her house survived. The neighbors did not. Anna Faris lost her house. You mentioned Miles Teller. The list is obviously really long. Anthony Hopkins, did you say that already? Yeah. The list, Billy Crystal, I mean, just so many names.
Yeah, and it's, look, they're celebrities. They're going to be okay. They will rebuild somewhere. These are people who have means, so they're going to be all right. There are a lot of other people who don't have what they have and aren't going to be able to rebuild as quickly or find a place as quickly. And as you mentioned earlier, we don't know how much or how many of these folks have fire insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, that will cover something like this. So this is going to be an extraordinarily devastating economically a tragic event that is happening in L.A. And right now we know of five people who have been killed. And as we just talked to Jason from AccuWeather, he says he's surprised the number is not higher. That number is going to grow. It'll take some time to find out.
Yeah, like I said, that the images are devastating, and it's so sad to see these homes. And like, you do care. I mean, you can say like, oh, I disagree with Hollywood. It doesn't mean you want their houses to burn down. Like, I feel just like in tears to think of all of these homes, and you think of the special items within those homes. You think of all of the business owners, because it's all of, like, I follow some little boutique-y, you know, clothing designers or interior designers, just fun little artist shops. Mm-hmm. A lot of those are in the Palisades. My Instagram has been blowing up with notes from the store owner saying, my whole life savings I poured into this business, to really open this shop meant the world to me, and it's gone. you know, to business owners plus neighborhoods. You know, Candace Cameron Bure, I brought her up. She's obviously was in Full House, grew up in L.A., is on the Hallmark Channel and all of that. You follow them, you get to know them. She's just in tears. She said, these are my neighborhoods. I grew up here. I've only lived here my whole life. And just so many memories and history. There's so much history in those homes.
It's just, it's really sad.
Ugh.
Really tragic. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji, KMOX.
What's today?
It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Any update from Chris Ranji and the sisters situation, Ron? Oh,
what do you think I've done in the last 10 minutes?
I mean, sometimes, you know, you get people texting in like, go for it or stay away from that family.
Yeah, we've had a few more people who've offered their thoughts.
Yeah, and they've offered their thoughts. I thought maybe our listeners and their wisdom have swayed you.
Well, this text message says that crazy is fun for a while, but only a while. And I think that's true.
That sounds like something you would say. Did you text that in?
No, but I totally agree with that.
I know, sounds a little bit like you.
I totally agree with that.
And you would put your head down and point and look at me how you like look up through your eyebrows.
Yeah.
It's fun for a while, but only a while.
So I'm saying is it's not completely out of the question that I will go out with this sister. I'm thinking about it.
Don't you think if she followed you on Instagram and if her sister's first instinct was to listen to this show after she met you and things were going well, do you think the other sister is listening to the show?
Possibly. And if she is, that's totally over.
Do they have names?
I should see.
Really?
I should check it out and see if I've been blocked yet.
You should.
Quick recap. I went out with this lady for a little
bit. If she's crazy, she might love being talked about.
That's possible.
Are they the sisters that have the same letter starting their names? Like all the kids are the same name? Our same letter?
No. They have different names. Okay. But yeah, so I went out with this person. She ditched me on New Year's Eve for another dude, showed up to the bar with the dude that she ditched me for. And then she told me the next day that I should go out with her sister instead.
Can you?
So that's the quick rundown what happened to me.
If you missed it, please subscribe to the Chris and Amy Show podcast so you can go back and listen to it. Yesterday, one question I did not ask, because everyone asked, is the sister cute?
Yeah,
and
totally.
You seem to imply that they were equally cute. I know it'd be rude to rank them, especially if they're listening.
Yeah, they don't look identical or anything.
But they're both cute.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. Can you promise to be objective?
Yes.
And put your ego aside. We love you, so we're asking you. The guy that the girl showed up with on New Year's Eve instead of you.
Bum. Looked like a bum.
He didn't look attractive?
Yeah. No, come on,
was he handsome? Was
no.
he young?
I think he was taller than me. I was sitting down,
you're
though. 6'4". He had a mustache.
How could he be? Well, okay, but be tall.
I'm 6'2".
You're 6'2". Okay, well, still 6'2". Is still pretty tall. I don't think it's a height issue.
Looks like he hadn't showered in days.
Is he younger than you? Probably. If he had a mustache, he definitely
is. Yeah, he was younger than me.
How much younger?
Oh, I don't know.
20 years?
Not 20, you dummy.
15.
Not 15, maybe.
But he was younger and taller, so she did upgrade.
That's not an upgrade.
Come on. You can go out with a 50-year-old who's 6'2". Or you can go out with a 32-year-old 6'4".
Yeah, but maybe he sucks.
That's true.
I'm awesome to be around.
You're like crazy. You're fun for a little while.
I'm not crazy.
No, I said you're like crazy.
Oh.
You're fun for a little while, and then...
That's not true.
You're a little abrasive.
Oh, that's just because of how you are.
That's what you think.
This is your fault. I'm victim blaming.
You're upset because you're hysterical.
Have you thought about being less hysterical, Amy?
Have you thought about being less shrill?
She has thought about it, but she decided against it.
Do you know the sister that you fell in love with first? Did she have a voice like one of Cinderella's mice?
No.
Okay. Is there a chance that her sister does? And would that be a deal breaker?
Not necessarily.
How attractive do they have to be for the Cinderella mouse voice not to be a deal breaker?
You got to be at least a 7.
Like, hi, Renji.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think so.
Matt Pajewski just threw up.
Oh. I recoiled.
Oh, shut up, Matt. If you have not submitted your name for the No Prize Pick'em Challenge tomorrow and you want to play, this is your last chance, basically.
And if you are the sister
Okay, stop
you
with the sisters.
You can play the no prize pick'em.
The text line is 314-436-7900. If you want to play a football game with us tomorrow, not a real one, we're not suiting up. Amy's not putting on the pads. But if you want to play against Amy, me, and Battle Hawks head coach Anthony Becht tomorrow at 12:30, we're just picking NFL playoff games, let us know. You can text us right now, 314-436-7900, and leave your name, and you might have somebody reach out to you and ask you to participate. Have a great rest of your day. You might as well stick around because the Dave Glover Show is coming up. Amy and I, we got the podcast of this show. Anything you missed is on the Odyssey app. Download it and listen. A-U-D-A-C-Y. We love you very much. Back with you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Hancock and Kelly will start the show with us here on KMOX.
Look, first of all, it's not a department. It's not even an office. It's not even a laptop.